This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly sponsored by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. As a City supporter, we know you value delivery, and McDelivery is up there with the very best. You'll always be winning with McDelivery because just like Kevin De Bruyne, McDelivery puts your order right on a plate. So the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered as well. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for you tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Much like the Nottingham Forest social media manager, we're left to pick up the pieces after a pretty wild weekend of football in action. It's Tuesday, the 23rd of April. I'm Amos Murphy.
I'm Luke Bardsley.
And I'm Alex Brooks.
And this is the City Report podcast.
For Gundogan! It is a thrilling start for Manchester City. The fastest ever goal in an FA Cup final. 2023 is the City treble year. Champions of England, FA Cup winners, and now, at last, champions of Europe. Manchester City are kings of Europe. Now they have their triple crown.
Welcome, listeners. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's the battle of the provincial towns today. We've got Bury versus Glossop, everyone. Sounds like some of City's Northwest Counties Football League opponents in a couple of years' time when those damning charges finally hit. In the Bury corner, Mr. Alex Brotherton, welcome back.
Hello. Yeah, not a big fan of you saying I'm in the Bury corner, to be honest. I think you mean the Presswich corner, but let's not get into that.
It's in the Metropolitan Borough of Bury, as Google tells me.
This is true.
It's too far away for me. I don't deal with those.
I have just filled out my postal vote for the local elections, and it is part of for the Bury Council. So yeah, you are technically right. But yeah, good to be back. It's been a while, but yeah, it's looking forward to speaking about the little game at Wembley that we had on.
Indeed. Has universal suffrage reached Glossop yet, Luke? Do you get to vote in those parts of the world?
Oh, good one, Amos. Very, very funny. I live in Glossop. I'm not from Glossop, I'd also like to say. So both me and Alex don't want to be where we are. Fantastic. That's exactly what we love to do. Well, we do get on very well. It's not going to be a boxing match, listeners, by the way. We're not going to, me and Alex are not going to start fine. We do get on quite well, which is always good. But yeah, excited to get into the episode.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, I think Glossop's lovely, but it's just got to that point now, Luke, where you just Glossop Luke. Nothing you can do about it. Sweet, let's get into it then. If you are looking for sort of immediate raw reaction to City's FA Cup semi-final win against Chelsea, make sure you go back on your podcast feed. The guys yesterday did a great job of really sort of analysing and going deep into that fixture, which is just as well because we've got two people here who, Luke, you didn't get to see any of the game. Is that right? You were living it up in Leeds?
I was, it's my birthday weekend, just make everyone aware. I was 22.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was fantastic. Turned 25 this weekend in the lovely city of Leeds, which I do have a lot of respect and a lot of admiration for. I love Leeds. I think it's a great city.
Well, speaking of rivals, we've got a bit of a Yorkshire rivalry as well, because Alex, you are in the Sheffield corner, and I think you'd be happier to defend Sheffield than Bury.
Went to university in Sheffield. It's never spent much time in Leeds, to be fair, but yes.
Were you a uni of or were you a Hallam man?
I was a uni of man.
Oh,
course he was. Look at that face. That's a distinguished mustache if I've ever seen one. Yeah.
So been through your territory a few times across the Snake. Across the Pennines to get to.
I also love Sheffield as well. I think Sheffield's a great city. I just like the north of England. It's pretty wide, bluntly.
Should we make a North of England podcast?
Yes, here we go. The North of England podcast. With our free schedules, though, we'd meet once every like 4 months. So
yeah, true. A little bit like the transport links in the North of England. Anyway, so back to the football. What I was saying, Luke, you obviously missed the game with birthday celebrations, but you've caught up since. And Alex, you missed the first half as well. So we won't spend too sort of long on the ins and outs of the fixture, but just that sort of overall feeling, Alex, City through to the FA Cup final. I'm going to say they did it the hard way. I wasn't particularly expecting them to get a result. I wasn't particularly bothered, really, if that's the right word, about the result itself, given how much energy they'd expended on Wednesday night. Kind of a nice little bonus. I don't know if you can call a win against Chelsea that, but yeah, it was nice to see City get the win.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can call it that, to be fair, you know, especially given that it was Chelsea. We've seen they've performed pretty well against City this season with the two draws in the league. So I feel like it was kind of like more satisfying than, you know, if they'd, I don't know, played like I'd say a lesser opponent, but obviously Chelsea have not had a great season this year.
Coventry, perhaps.
Yeah, perhaps, you know, yeah. Yeah, so I think it was, after the Real Madrid game, you know, going the distance, obviously I don't think anyone came into it expecting, you know, a vintage City performance or City to fly out of the traps or anything like that. So it was just a case of getting it done. And obviously we had the, you know, the whole thing about scheduling, which obviously Guardiola touched on, well, more than touched on after the game. But it was something I noticed in the lead up, sort of before the Madrid game. I was like, well, that's weird. Like the, you know, none of the other, you know, United and Coventry obviously don't have a midweek game. So I was kind of banking on it being the Sunday, but there we go. So I think in the circumstances, you know, it wasn't a great performance, but was anyone really expecting anything different? I certainly wasn't. I was pretty surprised by the team lineup, to be honest. I thought we'd see more, you know, I didn't think we'd see De Bruyne after he went off against Madrid. I thought we'd see a bit more like sort of rotation out of necessity, but obviously, with no Champions League semi-final to look ahead to, maybe Guardiola thought it was worth the risk of putting out those players that had, a lot of whom had played 120 minutes in midweek. So, yeah, again, not a great performance, but it is nice to be in the semi-final, especially having dropped out of Europe. I think might have, you never really know the psychology of the players and what's going on in the dressing room, but if they'd, you know, gone out of two competitions in the space of less than 72 hours, that could have had some sort of adverse effect looking ahead to the title, the sort of the conclusion of the title race. So I think it was good. You know, there's nothing bad about getting to the final of the FA Cup. We're not in the Champions League. So there's no, you know, it's not, oh God, another final where there's another game to think about. You know, it's, just a positive, I think.
Yeah, definitely. After the fact, I certainly agree there. Luke, as the patron saint of Brexit ball, and I say that with pure affection, you're a man who loves your backs against the wall performances. You must have been quietly pleased with the versatility City performed. I say that though, I'm looking at the stats now, and they pretty much doubled Chelsea's passes. They had more shots on target. They had more shots, not more shots on target. Chelsea had more XG. But it's one of those games I felt that the stats didn't really show the real picture. City rode their luck a little bit, and they had to they defended when they had to, and they did so quite well.
Yeah, I mean, dare I say the best sort of backup keeper in the world so far? Stefan,
I think you're probably fair.
I think that's very fair comment. They probably want him and Kelleher find out for that title currently, who's another very good keeper in my opinion as well. And he's just pure class, isn't he, Ortega? He just looks so comfortable. He doesn't look like he's going to make a huge mistake anytime soon. I've said it before in this podcast. I think he walks into 15, 16 Premier League sides. I think he's absolutely class. And class always prevails, doesn't it? He made some very good saves. I think we defended quite well, quite resiliently at times. There was a lot of last gasp sort of blocks, which I love. I love a sliding block. And John Stones is in the first half. Was superb. That's exactly what I love. Probably did his hamstring in the long run, but you know, it made me happy, and that's all that matters. I do love a good bit of Brexit ball, a good defensive performance, and I think it was kind of needed. You need a good defensive, stable performance moving in, especially when you've seen how Arsenal have played over the year. They've almost made a title charge based on defensive performances at certain times. They've been sensational, like defensively. They've obviously capitulated against Aston Villa recently, but apart from that, they have been rock solid, and it's really sort of proven their way, really. It's one of them. As Alex said, it's cup football. You get the job done, you move on to the final, and that's all that really matters in the long run. I wanted to sort of touch on Pep Guardiola's sort of comments as well about, as you said, okay, Alex, about scheduling. I just thought he was a bit weak, like mentioning it. I just didn't really understand why. They obviously couldn't play on a Sunday because Chelsea are playing Arsenal on Tuesday. Like, if they played on Sunday, I know they've got a squad of 50 players, but it just wouldn't have made sense.
That's poor planning on the Premier League's part, then, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. But the Premier League would argue Chelsea don't really care about the FA Cup either, really.
This is the underlying feeling, because I personally thought Guardiola was spot on. This was the underlying message that he put across, was there is not a lot of joined up thinking with the scheduling, and as is always the case, the narrative has gone in 55 different directions with people bringing up the amount of games. I don't know, Sutton have been playing in League Two and stuff like that, you know. But basically, Alex, what Guardiola was saying was they finished the game. Well, I mean, I didn't get home until midnight on Wednesday. I'm sure the players were, by the time they'd done the recoveries, the media, the doping, etc., was gone midnight, well into the early hours of Thursday. They'd have done maybe some light recovery work on Thursday. Friday would have probably been a full training session. Then they'd been back over to Wembley. It was less than 72 hours. And I think that's kind of the crux of it. It wasn't necessarily how many games City are playing across the course of a season, because we know if you want to be fighting for three trophies, four trophies, you're going to play a lot of games. It was, like I said before, the joined up thinking behind the scheduling, not the scheduling itself.
Yeah. Obviously, yeah, because we've become, City are used to, like, this squad are used to having, you know, even more games that they're going to have this season. You know, obviously last season they went the distance in every competition bar the League Cup. But yeah, it's I guess it's with the Chelsea game, Chelsea playing Arsenal tomorrow on Tuesday. You'd think that obviously it's, you know, the Champions League dates are set in stone sort of well ahead of time. It would be my argument, so that the FA obviously can't be like, oh, UEFA, can you move, you know, move the Champions League quarterfinal second leg? But, you know, when was this Chelsea Arsenal game rescheduled? I'm assuming, unless I'm just completely wrong, I'm assuming it was a rescheduled one.
It was because ironically for the FA Cup quarterfinals. So they knew that Chelsea had progressed into the semi-finals, and, you know, I don't even know if City had got past Copenhagen at that point. They probably didn't. In fact, I think it was the week after, something like that. So they would have known that this was going to come up, but it just feels like they've put a finger on a date on a calendar and gone, okay, that'll do.
Yeah, I mean, it's not ideal. I mean, obviously you've got all the people just saying, oh, it's Guardiola, like, moaning again, and, you know, team X has to do this every year in, like, the lower leagues. But it's, you know, whoever you are, regardless of whether you're a, like, you know, £50 million footballer or not, or if you're just a part-timer, it's, you know, playing an intense sort of match and then having a very late night and then, you know, having to then travel to the other end of the country again, like, less than, you know, we're talking about 60 hours later, really. Like, it's not, you know, at that level as well, it's just not really healthy. And I know it doesn't happen every week, so it's, you know, in the long term, it's probably not going to be a massive issue. But certainly, I think we saw it didn't help City, you know, in that game. And yeah, I think it's just, there needs to be more joined up thinking, but I just, you know, it's just never going to happen, is it? Because all the different bodies that operate these different competitions have their own, you know, priorities and have their own sort of agendas and whatnot, so it's just never going to happen. So maybe it's just something we're gonna have to live with as and when. It doesn't happen every year, but, you know, it's probably gonna happen again, especially if you go far in every single competition.
Yeah, it's all about managing your squad. At the end of the day, the football is not about a team of 11 players, it's about the squad you build. That's why we have all the squad regulations, making sure you've got players to play. Guardiola just doesn't really like to abuse his squad as well as other managers probably do in your
office. Did you hear his comments on that, though? Because it was interesting. I know you were obviously living it up large in Leeds, but he I almost think, and I don't want to do the sort of the happy clapping, supporting Guardiola and sort of just ignoring the fact that football exists outside of this city vacuum, because I know other managers have said it. However, we are a City podcast. But it takes a lot for him to really get that sort of riled up. We've seen him in the past where issues have been put in front of him and he said, you know, no comment. This is for other managers. This is for whoever. But he made the point that in the past, he has gone into Wembley semi-finals having had a Champions League knockout second leg in the quarterfinal, the, you know, 72 hours before, and he's rotated the team, and as we saw against Liverpool, 3-0 down at half time.
Yeah.
He was making maybe it was a bit self-righteous, but he was making the point that people want the big clubs to respect this competition and go far and sort of treat it as if it was a Champions League or a Premier League. So he's got to put out his strongest players then, hasn't he?
No, yeah. You do have a very point. I just thought it was a bit soft from Guardiola, to put it quite bluntly. Like, obviously, he's the best manager in Premier League history, and like, he could do
whatever. Are you scared he's listening? Is that why you're backing up now? Are you scared he's listening?
I'm more than happy to say I just thought his comments were a little bit soft. If he really was bothered about sort of Bernardo Silva running, I don't know, 30k in the space of like 2.5 days, just play Mateus Nunes for a little bit, maybe. I think he would have been perfect in that game. I think he'd have done a good job coming off the bench. But the scheduling issues is something different, and like the FA Cup issues as well moving forward for the next couple of years are going to be very, very interesting to see what these lower league sides are going to sort of react to the FA Cup news, which might have shot themselves in the foot a little bit, the FA. I think from my point, I think it's absolutely ridiculous what they've done. And I know, I'm sure you probably have very strong opinions, Alex, on it, being sort of a lover of lower league football in England. I'm sure you have more sort of passionate opinions than I do. But yeah, I understand what I was saying. I just think Pep, it might have been a bit heated in the moment with Pep after the game. I don't think if he'd have had the interview now, he'd probably say the same thing. He's probably always looking forward to the next game. But yeah, I'm just happy to get a win and get into that Manchester Derby final, which is going to be a spectacle, I hope, as well. And I hope we perform as well as we did last year as well.
Are you buggering off to, what is it, Greece? Are you going to be there this time?
Yeah, I'm not going on holiday this time. Don't you worry, Amos, mate. Even my dad wants to go, which is mental. My dad hates Wembley, never goes. He said to me yesterday he wants to go. I'm shocked.
Wonderful. Well, we can maybe enjoy an £8.50 pint in the concourse. Oh, I don't know. We'll have to start saving up now. that'll do for part one, listeners. Stay exactly where you are. Like I said, we'll continue picking up the pieces in part two.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The Etihad Stadium really is wonderful at this time of the season, and the same goes for McDelivery. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome back to the City Report podcast, your home for daily Manchester City content. Finally then, I know all of these talking points were covered as well with Ollie, Alex and Bailey on yesterday's show. So listeners, do go back and they go into fantastic depth on the topics. But I just wanted to quickly touch on John Stones, Alex, because it's been a frustrating week, but it's been a frustrating season for him. And I'm almost convinced he made a deal with the devil at about sometime this time last year to say, look, give me a full run of fitness in the next month, 2 months, 3 months in City's title and treble running, and you can do whatever with me in terms of the next sort of the rest of my career, because it feels like it has been, it's been a downward slope, hasn't it, in terms of his fitness has been concerned, and he didn't play against Real Madrid. You could make the argument that maybe that sort of Akanji stepping into midfield, although he did a decent enough job in that game, was one of the reasons City looked so lackluster in attack. He started against Chelsea, but it was Akanji stepping in midfield. I don't want to say it, and I don't want to sort of go down this route, but I guess we have to. Can City no longer depend on him, do you think? Is it time for Guardiola to maybe turn to different options? Is one of those options Akanji doing that role, or does that hybrid defender stepping into midfield to work alongside Rodri kind of have to die out if City want to be successful?
Yeah, I was thinking about this. I think I'm just wondering if this is going to be the sort of the tactical change that we see for next season. Perhaps that role, I mean, this is just, you know, just my sort of reading of the situation, but it's become clear this season that obviously, you know, the injuries that Stones has always had, and there's been a couple of seasons, haven't there, where he's been pretty available pretty much all the time, but there's been more than that where he's not. And this season, again, he's proven, you know, it's never going to change. He's not just going to sort of, some players will have injury issues, and as they get older, they, you know, sort of grow out of it, for lack of a better term. But that's clearly not happened with Stones. And it's just, you know, you can't, in a way, I think he's one of the, along with Rodri, I feel like Stones is one of the players where it's very visible when he's not playing that, you know, City can still play well without him. But, and as we know, like, you know, Manu Akanji has done really well, like adapting to that role. It's not something ever really done before, but he just doesn't have the sort of the 360 vision that Stones seems to have when he plays that role. And I'm not saying he can't become, you know, that good at it as Stones is, but I just think, you know, they do sort of lack something. And I feel like that's last season, I feel like Akanji did it a little bit at times when he had to, and it seemed to work a bit better. And I feel like this season, maybe part of the issue is, I feel like teams of, you know, this always happens. Guardiola comes up with like a tactical tweak or whatever, and then after a few months or maybe the next season, teams kind of find a way, eventually teams will find a way to cope with it, and then that forces City to do something different. And I feel like this season, you know, we've seen a lot of teams sitting very deep, compact in the box. And even at times, I feel like Stones has kind of struggled. You know, like we saw it against Real Madrid. So, you know, Real Madrid had pretty much everyone behind the ball. And then you've got Stones. You've got like Akanji kind of on the edge of the box. Mm. Like, thread a pass like from the edge of the boxes, and even when if it was Stones, like, yeah, Stones is better in that role, it, you know, it's become the John Stones role, but is that the guy you want trying to break this kind of low block down, as opposed to someone like, I don't know, that's the kind of role David Silva would have played back in the day, you know? And obviously the system was different, and he brings a lot, even if it's not Stones, if it's Akanji, if it's even Lewis, you know, it brings a lot because it's more defensive cover. City had more problems with transitions back in, you know, 2017-18 when they had actual midfielders playing that role. But it's just a bit of a toss-up, isn't it? It's like, do you go back to back then, you know, a few years ago, where City did have pure attacking midfielders in those positions, and that would probably help break down low blocks, but then you can probably put money on City being more vulnerable to, you know, Liverpool and sort of Tottenham and other teams that are good on the transition. And that's what we saw in 2017-18, you know, City getting ripped apart by Liverpool in the Champions League. So, you know, it seems pretty clear that, you know, it's going to vary from season to season whether Stones is going to be available much of the time or not. And unless they stick with that system and they bring another defender in that's, you know, they think they can be as good as Stones doing that. But yeah, bit of a rambly answer, but it's just like it's not a clear answer, is there? It's just a bit of a weird one.
Yeah, and I imagine that's probably what the inner monologue of Pep Guardiola's head sounds like when he's trying to sort of think through these decisions and come to a solution, because it is an issue, I think. And Luke, I'll give you sort of a minute to share your thoughts, but I still wonder if Pep Guardiola somewhere is hoping to find a solution, whether or not it's with City, whether or not it's in the past, and if he stays long enough to even have the opportunity. But we've seen him flirt with three at the back, I think, a couple of times, and it's never really stuck. And I don't know if you can ever, unless you're doing a sort of Conte 3/5 with the deep wing backs, I'm not sure you can ever really have success with it in England, because the transitions are just so dangerous, and that's what City have been fucked with numerous times, Champions League, Premier League, whatever you want to say. But Luke, it looks like it's quietly becoming a small issue, because it's a victim of its own success, isn't it, this John Stones position? Because as Alex says, he is literally the only guy suited. It's almost like Iron Man. He's the only one who can fit the suit.
Technically, Iron Man was replaced.
I took a speculative punt from about 35 yards, and it seems to have gone off the post.
Don't worry, I'll get all coin butt nerd on you people. Don't you worry at all. It's just the problem we've got with John Stones at the moment is he's playing a totally unique role that was basically created 2 years ago. Like, usually in football, you have past cases where you can revolve to them and you can be like, right, this happened here, this might happen again. But with John Stones, he's playing a totally unique role, and he's a totally unique football player. So it's a flip of a coin at the moment. Like, you can either try and replace him, you can try and adapt around him, maybe try and manage his minutes. But the problem with John Stones that we've got is he needs a big rest, and he's not getting one in. He's not getting one in the summer, because he's going to have to be England's star man. Like, this is the problem he's got. Like, every team that he plays for, he is pivotal to that team, which is the struggle that he's got when he has so many muscular problems. But it's the same with the rest of the City team. Like, there's so many muscular problems this year. Like, Grealish has had muscular problems. Rodri has to, I'm sorry, but his hamstring's got to go soon. Like, there's no way a man can run like 13, 14K every game and he's a big lad. It's not like he's a Bernardo where his body type's more used to running long distance. He's like a 6'2" brick wall. How is he running them distances? I don't get it. Like,
a lot of weight on them legs, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's just a unit. But I know this is looking forward too far in advance, and I get that. But just as a closing point, so excited for what we're going to do in the summer and what we're going to do next year to adapt. I feel like it is, if Pep's still here, which I hope he still is and doesn't just get up and leave, it is fascinating what we're going to do. And I think that the John Stones, could he become like a Kevin De Bruyne where he's slowly starting to be phased out of the first choice 11? It is something that could happen, but I love John Stones. He's my favourite, he's probably my favourite football player of all time apart from Fabian Delph. I admire.
What a statement. What is it with you Yorkshire lovers? You meant to be Lancashire lovers.
It's just a case of, like, I just love everything about John Stones. He doesn't have one bad quality about him, and Delph was just a bit of a shithouse, which I liked. Like, when someone says to a
club, I'd never have guessed it.
Yeah,
it's completely out of character, Luke.
It's so great. When someone says to a club, right, just, I don't know about Fabian Delph, but actually say my point. When someone says to a club, oh, I'll die for this club, I'll never leave you, and then leaves 2 weeks later, it is the best thing on planet Earth, and you've got to stand by it. I love it. Especially when he comes and wins a Premier League with a new team as well, and he's pivotal to that team as
Multiple.
Yeah, and he's playing left back, playing centre mid, playing everywhere. Like, what a guy.
Speaking of tactical innovations, there was one of their own. Yeah,
Pep's two greatest tactical innovations of all time. Forget David Villa. Forget Thierry Henry playing as a left winger. Forget Messi false nine. Fabian Delph at left back. Put it on a t-shirt, everybody.
No, well, you have got it somewhere. I think that's enough for sort of the John Stones chat, because I think it's sort of one to earmark and maybe come back to in the summer, because who knows, he could have a absolute barnstorming 24-25 campaign. He's still only 29, which is, I guess, part of the pain, really, to see him sort of not fall off a cliff, but struggle as much as he has this season. I guess we'll finish up then, Alex, with a bit of chat about our not so noisy neighbours anymore, Manchester United. It was the hope that kills you, I guess, in the end with Coventry City, and they had this remarkable come. I turned it off at 3-0. I was like, I can't be asked for this anymore. I got a message. Oh, you know, 3-1 maybe. Then the next one comes through. Surely not. And then before you know it, I think the entire nation sort of just in collective laughter. But another Manchester derby, FA Cup final, the old adage, you wait for a bus and suddenly two come along at once.
Yeah, it's crazy, really, isn't it? Last season, like my I wasn't going to go to the final, and then I went thinking, well, you know, it's never happened before in 150 years. You know,
it's
never going to happen again. I can't go to the only Manchester Derby final in my lifetime, and then yeah, there's another one, but I'm probably going to try and go again. But yeah, there might never be another one after this one.
There might not be. There might.
But yeah, it's it would have been nice and maybe not have the stress of a Manchester Derby final again. But you know, last year wasn't too bad. I just don't know. I'm just hoping we can somehow top scoring after 12 seconds.
That's
maybe a last minute
standard,
winner. That would be quite good, wouldn't it? Because like,
I don't know if I could take that.
Maybe the inverse, the reverse of last year's. Because last year's it started so well, and obviously then went. Was it one-one then two-one? But then we were hanging on big time at the end. Obviously Ortega made a good save, I think, didn't he? Right at the end, United were very nearly equalised.
So Weghorst, do you remember him? Relic of 12 months ago.
That feels like he was a United signing made by Louis van Gaal in 2015, not 2 years ago. I think it would be nice if it's a bit less squeaky bum time at the end, but in terms of, you know, making core memories, a 96th minute winner would be quite nice, wouldn't it? But yeah, we'll see. Yeah. It'll be a stressful one, I'm sure.
Yeah, which is part of the problem, isn't it, really, Luke? Because they're just not enjoyable days. And this is weird, actually, because as soon as United went through, and I think as when it went to penalties after that disallowed goal for Coventry, you just knew, because that's the law of momentum. And even when Casemiro missed the first penalty for United, you just knew that was going to be the case. United were going to go through. But at the same time, I don't know if it's because of last season, but from a personal point of view, it didn't hit me as hard as it did. I think when Brighton got knocked out by United last year, it was just this sort of immediate cartoonish cloud of dread hanging over me for pretty much until the full-time whistle at Wembley. Given it's already happened, Ollie said it yesterday, nobody remembers the second Manchester Derby, victors or losers, do they? And I think City will always have, regardless of what happens, they'll always have that win last year.
Yeah, I mean, Owen Bucket Atson, he didn't stop the treble. Oh, yeah. And the reason why you don't feel like this way this year, Amos, is because Man United are shit.
Bluntly, but succinctly.
To put it quite bluntly, like, I'm not going to lie, to see that team just capitulate.
Does that not fit you even more, though?
It's just because I think we're going to bat them about 4-0, mate. Personally, I just think we're going to run over them. I feel like we've got a bit. I'm hoping that exiting the Champions League is going to give us a bit of a bite where we're going to be like, right, because we can't let them win. And I think
you saw that on Saturday, didn't you? The way they played with literally nothing left in the tank.
Yeah, I don't know. I think for them, Højlund is their main man. If he turns up, it could be a game where he turns up. And I wouldn't want Akanji stepping into midfield in that game. I'd want him to be at centre-half, because I think that Akanji and Diaz could really do a job on Højlund, It's going to be a fun game for a neutral. Honestly, Alex, I completely disagree with every point you said. I hope we win about 9-0. I don't want a last-minute winner, because that would be a shocking.
Oh, no, I mean, a 9-0 would be great as well.
just imagine the group chats. Oh, if it was 0-0 going to 90th minute, like, I think I'd just throw my phone in a bin and just leave it there. And just be like, I just don't want to look at you anymore.
If I'm allowed to change my mind, actually, I think I kind of agree that.
Yeah, let's just win 9-0 and see them all crying and getting a tube home.
Right.
Ollie Kay's not here to Bert. Someone has to do it.
I know. You're putting in a good standing show. Look, the FA Cup, United have had the FA Cup run they've had this year. What did they scrape past Liverpool in the 120th minute? They obviously had the biggest slice of luck. I don't know, man. It'll be a grim one, but we'll have to wait and see. There's plenty of football to be played before then. 7 matches, including that, the rest of the City season, and that will be that. We really are. Well, we're probably past the business then. Now we're in the as you said before, the squeaky bum time. Alex, thank you very much.
Pleasure as always.
Luke, thank you very much.
Pleasure as always, gents. Thank you very much for having me as always.
Listeners, thank you very much. We'll be back tomorrow. Coffee Corner, so send in your questions. We'll answer as many as we can. Until next time, it's been a pleasure, and we will see you later.
Make sure you're geared up for Man City's end-of-season run-in with McDelivery. Great food delivered right to your door. By using McDelivery, you won't miss a moment of City's crucial run-in, and just like Kevin De Bruyne, they deliver your order exactly where you want it. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? At participating restaurants only, 18 and plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.